Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Stephen Tate of Online Marketing for Doctors, and today we are discussing managing client expectations. Stephen is currently an account director at the digital marketing agency's Online Marketing for Doctors and Result-Driven SEO, and is responsible for the management of the company's relationships with its clients, coordinating the resources needed to service projects and accounts, build strategic operational plans, and balance the expectations of the clients with the execution of the work. Stephen has lived and worked in three countries, Canada, Vietnam, and Australia, and is passionate about challenging himself with new opportunities, finding creative solutions, and testing his ability to adapt and excel in new environments. Thanks so much for joining us today, Stephen.
Oh, thank you for having me. Feels weird to hear that stuff being said about me. Yeah, that's a very good introduction. I wasn't ready for that. Never heard it that way.
There you go. Well, so let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
Right now, I am in Sydney, Australia.
Okay, great. And so what time is it there?
It is currently 5 a.m.
5 a.m. Wow, impressive.
Yeah. It's all right. It's not that far off from my usually waking hours. So it's
okay. Good.
It's pretty normal.
You're a morning person, so that's a good thing.
Exactly.
So what would you say motivates or inspires you?
Yeah. I guess the unknown, I always like, I guess as the introduction sort of suggested, I get motivated by challenges and things that I don't know, things that I need to figure out, things mm-hmm. that make me work harder, and things that just sort of aren't comfortable for me, I guess, naturally. I do enjoy those hurdles, yes.
Awesome, I love that. And then, so how did you get into digital marketing?
Yeah, I guess it was a slow process. It wasn't necessarily, and it's still a fairly new thing for me.
Okay.
In some respects, I had been running a few different businesses, and while I had left those businesses, the one part that I did sort of really enjoy about running the businesses was the marketing side of things. And mm-hmm. during this time, digital marketing was becoming a lot more prominent. And so it just became something that I wanted to focus more and more on. I really enjoyed
the
digital marketing side of things. And just, it was such a quickly expanding and growing entity, the different various ways that you could market digitally. So it just inspired me to kind of keep going further and further in it. And that's when I started joining these agencies, which I did around, I guess it's been around 4 or 5 years now.
Okay. Wow. That's awesome. And then, so tell us about how you got involved with Online Marketing for Doctors.
Yeah, I knew the founder of the company from a personal relationship before, and I was leaving my old the company that I had been running, and sort of needed something new to do, and because I had that personal relationship, it just sort of worked that they were looking for someone to head up sort of the accounts that they're, so well, at least some of the accounts that they're running. Mm-hmm. And it was just sort of a convenient time to make that switch. And so, they said,
it
worked out just fine.
Awesome. And then, so how do you guys really differentiate yourselves from other agencies?
Well, we're not necessarily the largest agency. And I think, especially with online marketing for doctors, we have a real focus on what we're, on who we're the clients that we're trying to target. We're not necessarily just trying to target anyone, but we're really trying to specialize in one particular area. And I find that that's quite unique because most of the digital agencies that we see try to, we'll sort of service any type of client, but we found that there's a real value in developing a particular niche industry.
Yes. Yep.
And understanding that better gives us maybe a little bit more of a competitive advantage against just any other sort of agency.
Yeah, I think so. You're able to, yeah, you're just a complete expert on the field. You're able to do the work quicker. Your profit margins are higher. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I guess when you can, the more that we work in this industry or for these particular clients, we get to understand their language and, you know, their patients, even like their potential customers more intimately. We know them, I think, a little bit deeper. And so it's very easy for us to sort of make changes or just find the strategies that target them much better.
That's awesome. Okay, so let's delve into our topic now. So today we're going to be talking about managing client expectations. So What are some elements that you really focus on to ensure you're able to exceed your clients' expectations?
Exceed the expectations. I mean, this is obviously a big part of my work as an account director. Talking with clients, dealing with clients is the main focus of my job. And I guess so managing their expectation is a big component of that.
Right.
It starts right from the beginning. And right from the beginning when you're first meeting them, not like when you're even trying to pitch them and trying to get them to join your agency.
Right.
Because they're either calling you or you're calling them. And they'll have an idea of where they want to go with their marketing, but they might not necessarily understand how to get there.
Right.
And so, you know, especially say with search engine optimization, for example, it's always the classic. They always want to be ranked number one for any one particular keyword or topic or something. And it's very interesting that, you know, they'll be in an industry where there's, you know, 20, 30, 40 other players that are all paying someone to make them number one for the same keyword. And so only one person's going to be successful getting their client to number one. I think, you know, it's just, you know, it starts from there. The work, I guess, in terms of managing expectations.
Right. Yes. You don't want them to be thinking that they're going to be ranking number one, you know, in a week, like so many fly-by-night agencies and marketing professionals are making all these false promises. So
yeah,
you guys have to come in and do some damage control almost like right at the gate.
Right at the gate. Because it's tough too, because the temptation is always there to kind of, you know, highlight your agency's wins and be like, look, we've gotten these people number one, these people number one, these people number one. And be like, and they'll, you know, to inspire them to, you know, feel like, oh, these are the people that can get me to number one. But maybe that works for other people, but it doesn't really quite work for me. And it's not the way that I like building, I guess, the relationships that I have with my clients, and because it has ramifications later on down the road where yes, in 1 month or 6 months or whenever, they're asking the same questions. Why am I not number one?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when setting goals with your clients, do you work on the premise of under promise and over deliver?
Yeah. It's definitely a component of it. I don't, I don't necessarily think it in those terms. I try to think of it more as delivering on what you said that you would. If you go better, great. But I think for the relationship to work better, if you can deliver on what you say you're going to achieve, mm-hmm. that's the most important thing.
That's the goal. And then if you're able to over-deliver, that's just an added bonus.
That's an added bonus. And so it's tough to know what, you know, you want to be safe. So yes, maybe you do shave a little bit off the expectations just to make sure that you've got a little leeway there. But I wouldn't say that I necessarily set a lower expectation intentionally. I really, because it works both ways. We always, how to say it, you want to set an expectation of growth and where things will go. But in some instances, you may also need to set an expectation of decline. And so it goes both ways, that you want to sort of let them know where that growth will go and where that decline will go. And if you hit that exactly, you're building a lot of confidence and trust in what you're doing, because you sound knowledgeable and you sound like that you're able to, you know, achieve what you're going to achieve. And it just develops and builds a lot of trust then with the client. And I think those are the key things.
Yes, so important. And then, so in what ways do you ensure both parties are on the same page with regards to the deliverables, so that you can ensure that your client understands the scope and pricing and all of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always try to involve them as much as they want to be involved in sort of how we set those deliverables and why we're setting deliverables as to what we are. Like, it can't just be, you know, here's our KPI, here's our number that we're trying to achieve. It's unfortunate if the client just wants that, but mm-hmm. if they're going to be that hands off, then I think that's fine. But if you do have a little bit more engaged client where you can kind of be like, yeah, you know, our expectation is to achieve sort of this growth through these activities, and this is why we think we'll be able to achieve that. And we also run through the why aspect. Mm-hmm. That just helps further down the road. If say things don't go well and those expectations aren't met, then you can look back at those whys. And if those whys didn't really happen, you know, you both look at that and go, yeah, of course, we wouldn't have hit our numbers because these whys weren't achieved. Or these whys didn't actually transpire and didn't actually happen. And so the question then isn't, oh, well, you didn't hit your numbers, so you're not a success. It's more of like, oh, okay, right. So maybe our logic was wrong and why we thought we would get to these numbers.
Makes sense. So can you talk about the importance of clear, transparent reporting when it comes to managing your clients' expectations?
Yeah, it's very important, obviously. But I think it's important that it's also written down. It can't just be sort of a conversation that you have with your client. Always try to record it in an area, what your, you know, the clearness and your expectations for what's going to happen, either in follow-up emails or in contracts or something like that, just so that you always have an opportunity to go back to that information if things do get a little bit sideways, or if mm-hmm. you need to highlight sort of the positive work that you've done where, things did improve even much better than what we said. It's amazing how quickly things can be forgotten over time, and how everyone's impressions might be a little bit different about what was said or what wasn't said and what that means. So it's just very good that you write it down, so that way it is always very clear. And so when someone's challenging you to say, no, I thought you said this, or I thought you said that, you're like, well, hey, let's go back to our notes and let's see what was said. And okay, I see what was said. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's really important as well that it's clear so that reporting can sometimes cause confusion to the clients and they don't fully understand what all these metrics mean. So just really breaking it down so that they're crystal clear, I think is just a really important factor.
Yeah, and it's very easy for us because we see these numbers.
It's your language. Long,
yeah. It's our language. And so it's very easy for us to just run right through it.
Yeah.
And yet you're right. It is a little bit foreign language, especially a lot of numbers and trying to understand why those numbers matter for clients. And so you're right. Giving them that opportunity to sort of see it all clearly laid out and to digest it maybe a little bit, you know, quicker that way it does help. And it builds confidence in them too.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would love to hear a little bit about your onboarding process since this is such an important part of really starting that relationship out on the right foot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in terms of onboarding and expectations, I guess that is...
Really managing their expectations like right out the gate, basically.
Yep. That is one of the things that we set up in our onboarding process, where we sort of outline a plan and a goal for the first year on what they want to see happen and what they want to accomplish. And that's also very helpful in terms of sort of even developing, you know, what we're going to do. Not all clients will have the same sort of goals of sort of unending growth or opportunities. They have a limit themselves of resources that they have with their practice. And mm-hmm. So everyone wants to achieve different goals for different reasons. And so whatever those goals are will help feed sort of what their digital marketing needs are.
Yep.
So right at the beginning, we set that 1 year plan of, right, where do you want to be in 1 year? We talk about also where we want them to be in 3 and 5 years to know if what we're doing in our first year can lead us to what the third and the fifth year looks like, but also that we just want to get them thinking about where their 3 to 5 years is.
Get them in that growth mentality.
Right, because a lot of them will just sort of be thinking, okay, well, I just need help digitally marketing, or I just need mm-hmm. help sort of thing. It's like, but why do you want these things? Why is it so important to you and your business to have these things? And of course, it's important to have clients and customers, but, you know, say you can't imagine having your business 5 years from now. Well, then, you know, maybe you'll have a different perspective on mm-hmm. what you want to do with your marketing.
Absolutely. Are there any mistakes that you guys have come across when you've been managing your clients' expectations through the years that have been really good learning experiences?
Well, yes, I think many. And I think I talk about, you know, how we run things now, and that's probably just based off learnings from what did go wrong.
What didn't work. Yeah.
Right. Like where we didn't sort of get things in writing, say with a client and, you know, a year in, they're like, well, I really expected that we were going to be here and seeing these results. Why have we not achieved this? And I thought that we had a different understanding that this was going to happen and this was going to be different. And I think everything that I've sort of talked about right so far has been a reaction to probably something bad in the beginning.
Yeah.
and learnings that it's like, don't do that.
Yeah. So much of it just comes down to communication, like just like being like overly clear about things, I think is so important.
Very much so. Very, very much so indeed.
So where do you see online marketing for doctors in 5 years' time?
Yeah, exactly. We have our own sort of 1 and 3 and 5 year plans.
That's awesome.
It's not necessarily a very new agency. They've been around for 9 years now, and that's, you know, they've done a good job in sort of developing a small little footprint in the industry here. But mm-hmm. our goals are definitely to be the most recognized sort of agency in the medical space in Australia.
We do help
with clients internationally as well too. But we're not necessarily just limited to Australia, but we obviously feel with our Australian location that our best sort of ability to sort of grow and expand is in Australia. So that's sort of our goal, to be the most, to be the leading sort of agency in the medical space.
I love it. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. Okay. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I don't know if this is, like, does it matter if it's fact or fiction?
No, and honestly, I have some guests that come on and they're not big readers, but they listen to a ton of podcasts. So fact or fiction, well, is fine though.
Sure. I guess the book that I'm reading right now, I am absolutely adoring this book. It is the my favorite book right now. It is called Night Bitch by Rachel Yoder. I don't even know if that's how you pronounce her name, because I've never heard this name before.
Okay, I haven't heard of that one.
Okay, it is a incredible, incredible read. It has zero to do with the business world, digital marketing, or anything. But I guess if I were to maybe make a slight spin on what we're talking about, I do feel like, to be good in sort of managing sort of client expectations, that there's definitely you need to have an ability to understand people and understand, you know, what makes people tick and what makes people
Sort
of work. And so this book has been a very interesting sort of expose for me, I guess, in the world of motherhood and understanding the mentality that women may have around motherhood. It is a great read. I would recommend it for all of my male friends.
Okay, awesome. Well, I will pass that along. That's awesome. And then, so what does your morning routine look like?
My morning routine is never really the same. I don't have a specific routine, but I do try to accomplish all my daily goals that I have for myself.
In a different order every day.
Yeah, they just, because it'll somewhat depend on meetings that I have to do with clients and just other items that I have on the day. But I do try to get through everything that I specifically want to accomplish on a daily basis, especially for me personally, which are, I work out, I do a little bit of reading in the morning, I do my language lessons in the morning.
Okay.
I also do a few sort of brain stuff in the morning, sort of brain activities. So all the things that my personal sort of things that I want to do during the day, I try to get them all done first thing in the morning, just to make sure that they're done and out of the way and I can handle all the varieties in my day.
Exactly. Oh, that's awesome. I love that. Nice. And then, is there a CEO that you follow or study?
No, not really. unfortunately, no. I've got to admit, I don't really.
That's
really
okay.
Do that.
Yeah. No. Not everyone follows. Yeah. No. It's all good. We'll skip that question. And then, so, what is your favorite online tool?
Favorite online tool I use a lot now. I use obviously a lot of sort of Google's products, and I guess Data Studio being one of my favorite in terms of like reporting, just because I love, you know, the power that it has to compile a lot of data from a lot of different sources and in one spot. So it's a very good and tool for that. But I guess really the tool that we've been loving sort of over the last few years through this pandemic, I guess, has been FreeCamp. I don't know.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that.
It's just sort of a task project management software, and it was just what has allowed us to kind of keep everyone working remotely.
Okay.
It's our number one tool right now, and probably our most favorite. And it's been a great resource for our agency to kind of keep everyone, you know, operating smoothly and efficiently when we had to work remotely and couldn't get together anymore due to restrictions and whatnot. It was a great product, and we really loved working with that.
Okay, perfect. And that was called FreeCamp?
It's called FreeCamp. Yeah.
FreeCamp.
All one word.
Perfect. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
many things I wish that I've learned. I guess the one thing that I wish that I knew, I just sort of wish that I knew that I'd be here now. I've done a lot of different things in my life, and maybe that was good. Maybe I think all that variety was nice, but I do feel like I came to this game a little bit late. And so had I been in the digital marketing space, I think maybe a little bit earlier, I'd have a little bit better sort of knowledge about how even digital marketing came to where it is today. But
interesting.
I feel like I've always been sort of a step behind in that.
And, okay.
So it's always sort of a challenge for me just to make sure that now I am on top of the new developments. It just keeps changing so rapidly and so
it
quickly.
Does. Like even people who have been in the game for like the seasoned veterans, like they even right. say like yeah, they spend like at least like a couple hours almost every day just trying to stay up to date on things. So it's really interesting.
It continues to evolve so rapidly and so interesting, which makes it such a fun dynamic sort of field to be in.
Exactly.
Part of that challenge that I like to give myself.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Stephen. It's been really great chatting with you.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been a lovely experience.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.